As a background scripture, I would like for you to turn to Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 6. And if you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand and someone will get you a Bible. We encourage you to bring your Bible to church because some people like to write on the margin of their Bible some notes. And when you go back and read that passage, you remember what was said, what was talked about. And so, this is the passage that we're going to be looking at. And I'll be reading from the NIV. It might be a little bit different from the one you're going to see on the PowerPoint. And it reads thus: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that they have devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd their flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations. And in their riches you will boast." And as a corresponding passage of scripture, this is interesting. And because this is Jesus Christ Himself doing this, and that is Luke 4, 16 to 21. Luke 4, 16 to 21. "He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, he stood up to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah." We just read from Isaiah. "The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of God is on me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovering of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day that you have given us. We thank you for your many blessings upon our lives, the way you have watched over us during this week, the way you have protected us and our family. We pray, O God, that you would now strengthen and encourage our hearts. I pray especially for those who are going through difficult times right now, very emotional for some family, hurts, and all the rest of it. I pray, O God, for your grace to be extended to them and your blessings be upon them, we pray, and their family. I pray, O God, that you would watch over House of Hope, and we know, O God, that they will have to leave their facility very soon, and we pray, O God, that you would watch over them, the men who have decided to make a change in their lives, to turn around and to go in a different direction, one that would fear you. I pray that you would open the right place for them. We give you praise and thanks for that. And I also pray, O God, that you would bless the offering which will be taken up at the end of the service. I pray for both gift and giver, that you would watch over them both and use them to build your kingdom. And we shall give you all the praise and all the thanks, because we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are, as I said, looking into the series Mission Possible. And today our focus is going to be on forgiveness and salvation. Forgiveness and salvation. Especially to those people that we think should not be forgiven and should not have a chance to do that. As a matter of fact, we feel that they should go and be on the other side. And that's how strong we feel about that. But inasmuch as we have been hurt, or the hurt done to our family, we don't have the last say as to the final destination of those people who have wronged us or wronged our family. You know, does it make you feel good when you find out that there's a human trafficker right at your backyard? No, it does not. Does it make you happy? No. As a matter of fact, you're mad, you're angry, like I am mad and I am angry, and it's only a natural feeling that we have as human beings, especially as we think about our loved ones. I have 4 grandkids, and they love being on the outside in the yard. Most kids today, they would be in front of the TV and with a remote control and are playing video games and stuff like that. And what do they call it? There's a name for it that they get their fingers. But anyway, they love being on the outside. They would be on the swing, on the tire. They would climb the trees. They would do ninja stunts outside. You name it. Alex, the 4-year-old, oh, by the way, they would even take my shovel in the garage, and they're digging up in the yard and telling me, "Grandpa, I'm making you a garden." I said, "I don't want a garden. Take my shovel, take it to your dad's place and dig holes over there. I don't need that." The 4-year-old Alex will find my power drill, and he will find screws and pick up a 2x4. And all day long, he will be out there screwing and unscrewing with that power drill. He loves that. My point is that when the kids are outside, and when you find out that it only takes 30 seconds or less for someone to stop by the roadside, lure those kids with saying, like, "Here is a nice puppy." Kids are not thinking about the danger, and in no time, they are gone. Just a couple weeks ago, a child was literally snatched from the mother. And that's how bad it is getting. And all I need to say, folks, do not take things for granted. Take cautious of your kids, your grandkids. Watch over them. It's very, very important. How many stories have we not heard about people who have forgiven those who have killed their loved one? Some of them are still in prison, but the people have requested that they would like to talk to the individual, and they tell them by a face-to-face visit that, "I want you to know that I forgive you." Is that easy? No, it's not. But the point is that forgiveness is not in our hands. It's in the hands of God. Think about Jonah. When God said to Jonah, that, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to those people so they can turn their lives around." And Jonah said, "No, I'm not going. Those people, they are too sinful. They are too wicked. They are no good. I'm not going. They're not deserving of it." And God, being as creative as He is from the very beginning, provided a way to make him get there, a ride that he would never forget in his life. And he went there and he preached, and what happened? The people turned around and they worshiped God, even the kings and the rulers and everyone else. Just this past Easter, we find out the thief on the cross. Because, you know, all he has done, but in the end, he said to Jesus, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus forgave him. But we have to remember that in as much as what we are going through, that forgiveness is in the hands of God and not us. At this point in time, the Jews were taken captives to Babylon. Everything was taken away from them. And God raised a prophet named Isaiah. And God is going to be using Isaiah to bring hope and deliverance to the people. Were the Babylonians, oh, do they like that? No, they don't. They would rather they stay in slavery and be servants. And but God has a different thing for all of us and for them. And so we would like to look at a few things about Isaiah and how was he fitted and qualified for the job that God has called him to do. And in verse 61 and the first part of it, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon him." Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we do not necessarily or oftentimes think about the Holy Spirit as being in the Old Testament. We think of the Holy Spirit as being in the New Testament, because you remember on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in the upper room and filled their hearts and did cleansing and deliverance and everything else. But the Holy Spirit did operate in the Old Testament through the prophets. Because remember, the Trinity was from the very beginning. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were all from the very beginning. And Jesus Christ himself, the Holy Spirit was with him. You remember that when he was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it reads this. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up from the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." How are we qualified? Do we have to go to Bible school, take a correspondence class on theology, or anything like that? No, we don't have to. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, God's Holy Spirit is upon you, and you are qualified to be a witness for Jesus Christ wherever you go. And that's all it takes. The Spirit of God was not only upon him, but he was ordained and appointed. This was a sacred, solemn unction upon his life by God himself. It is as if he felt that a pair of hands were resting on his shoulder and God was saying to him, "You are going to be my man for the moment, for this time. I am sending you. I am appointing you to do this." You know, there are gifts and talents within the body, within the church. And sometimes those gifts are very noticeable. You can't miss it. And especially as pastors and leaders and of the church, we are able, hopefully we can pick up on those gifts and encourage those people. And oftentimes churches, people will call them and say, "Well, someone need to be a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader, and they would get the blessings of the pastor or the board, and they would even lay hands on them, anointing them for the position that God is leading them to do. And so you consider yourself as being ordained of God and the Holy Spirit being upon your life. And also what we like to look at is that what was he appointed and ordained to do? The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was appointed. He was ordained. But what was he ordained to do? And first of all, he was ordained to be a preacher. He was to bring good news to the Jewish people in captivity. And so he was challenging them in their faith. He was encouraging them. He was basically saying to them, better days are coming. I know you are under a different rule. Everything was taken away from you. But Isaiah is saying that better days are coming. Now, we don't have to be a preacher and we don't have to be an evangelist to be encouraging to someone. You may know somebody who is probably having a difficult time, and you want to just make a phone call and says, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. Things are going to get better. Just hang in there long enough. Dig your heels in and don't give up. And that's what our job is. He was to be a healer. God told Isaiah, you're going to be a healer. Of course, the people's hearts were broken. They were captured. They were taken away. They were messed up emotionally. They were like a basket case. And Isaiah was to minister to their needs. At that time, God was calling him to do that. Jesus Christ is still in the healing business today. And I believe that Jesus Christ wants to use us to bring healing to other people. And sometimes we feel, well, you know, Jesus did the healing. I don't think that I am worthy enough for God to use me. But yet God can use us to do that. You know what? What blows my mind when it comes to being a healer or helping people? John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And what has he been doing? Jesus Christ, healing, casting out demons, salvation. And then listen to this. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus, are you really serious that I'm capable of doing greater things than these? That's what his word says. And you know, folks, all it takes is for us to yield ourselves. And sometimes I often ask myself that, why isn't this happening more among Christian groups and churches today? Is it because of our lack of faith? Is it because we are not totally surrendered to God, or we don't understand how all of this works? And by the way, there is a workshop in Ocala at Living Waters Church this coming Saturday on healing and deliverance from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. If anyone is interested to have more knowledge on that, that's available for the church to do. But he was to be a healer. He was to be a deliverer. The Jewish people were held captives by the Babylonian people. And Isaiah is bringing hope to them that God will deliver you. Those who are in prison, the prison doors will be open. Yes, that is possible. The prison doors will be opened and you will be set free. You are no longer going to be servants of those people. God wants to bring deliverance today to his people. Think of the many today who are caught up in drugs and in alcohol and everything else that there is, the sin and the wrong and And it just seems like Satan has a grip on their life that it seems so difficult to break. And God is saying that you can be delivered. And God is telling us that yes, they can be delivered. And not to say that there is no hope for them. And God can deliver those people. And I know you're probably thinking of some of those people that you know who are probably held in the hands and the clutches of the evil one. He was to be their comforter. He was sent to comfort all who mourn. And this mourning is not necessarily mourning for the dead, but this mourning is for the sins that they have committed, is for the things that they have done wrong, and they are feeling sorry, and God is hearing them through Elijah, in fact, through Isaiah, and with the state of mind, and they have no will, they have no choices, and what they're told to do. And God says, I want you to tell the people, I want you to comfort them. And here again, as Christians and believers in Jesus Christ, we are all called to be comforters to those who mourn for whatever reason, whatever they're going through in life. God wants to be there to comfort you through a friend, through a pastor, through a leader, whatever the case may be. And then he was to be a planter. He was to be a planter. The scripture says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Have you seen an oak tree? And I mean, one of those beautiful oak tree where, you know, symmetrically there are branches going up, and you could feel that someone literally took their hand and put it like that. But God did that. And think of all the branches. And Isaiah is saying that you are going to be called oaks of righteousness. All those branches, all those coverings, and everything, the Christian attributes that go with that, you are going to be that. In other words, you are going to be a blessing. People are going to come, and they will stand underneath this oak tree where there is love and compassion and everything flowing from that. And that's what Isaiah is saying that you're going to do. And that's what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to be like an oak tree, the oaks of righteousness, where people will see your life or standing near you, and they can sense that love and that kindness and that goodness flowing out of your life. And then Isaiah, God promises him, God gave him some promises. And the promises that God gave him is found in verse 4 through 6. They will rebuild the ruins, restore the place of long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priest of the Lord. You will name ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations. And in their riches you will boast. And these are the promises that God is using him to give to the people. Their houses will be rebuilt. Remember that when they were taken captives, the Jews capture them. In fact, the Babylonians capture them, and they destroy everything that they had. Their houses, their cities, their places of worship, and everything was just ruined. And Isaiah is saying that all these things will be raised up again. You will rebuild. Your houses will be rebuilt. Folks, I know about people with past hurts and things that have happened to them, and whatever happened to them or their family should have never happened. But with God's help, we can rebuild our lives. We can pick up the pieces. the ruins. And like Isaiah says, everything will be rebuilt. Your lives, everything that you have, and you will no longer become a servant. In other words, you will even become stronger than what you were before you were captured. You will become stronger. He says, they will no longer be servants, another promise that Isaiah gave them. You are no longer going to be maids. You are no longer going to be servants. You are no longer going to be slaves for those people, for the enemies. But you are going to now have servants of your own. Remember that they were servants of the Babylonians. Now they're going to be delivered and released, and they're going to have servants of their own. And that's the promise that God gave them. But remember, they're going to have servants. They're not going to have slaves of their own. They're going to be treated like with love and compassion and everything else, contrary to how they were treated by the Babylonians. But that's the one of the promises. Another promise that Isaiah gave them, they will be released from captivity. They will be released from captivity. They will be set free, not only set free from because they were captured, but they're going to be highly preferred and honorably employed. And this is what the scripture says, while strangers are keeping your flocks, you shall be keeping the charge of the sanctuary. That's how God is promoting them. Instead of being slaves to your taskmasters, you will be named the priest of the Lord, a high and holy calling. When we are released from the clutches of sin, of Satan, when we are released from all of that, we become sons and daughters of God. The scripture says, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And that's the promises that we have today. God becomes our Father. Jesus Christ becomes our brother. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And that is when we are released and we're given a name that is above every name, that God is calling us. And then the Gentiles will be added to the church. The Gentiles will be added to the church. And this is what the scripture meant when it says that aliens will shepherd your flocks. The aliens are looked upon as the Gentiles. They will now shepherd your flock. Foreigners will work your fields, talking about the Gentiles. And you will be called priests of the Lord, and you will be named ministers of God. Those who were strangers will become fellow citizens with the saints, meaning the Jews. At that time, they did not want to include the Gentiles because they feel that the calling was only to the Jews. And now Isaiah is saying that you are going to become one big family and you are going to be part. And they welcome them within. And the Bible even promises that nations, they will be so blessed that other nations will come to them and buy from them, and that's how they become rich again, and God is making all that provision for them. As we close this morning, I don't know how you have been hurt. I don't know what has happened in your life, that maybe you have difficulty putting in the back burner and forgetting about it. But I want you to know that with God, all things are possible. And God will give us the grace and the strength to give us liberty and freedom where for our own sanity's sake we will be able to go about our life without thinking and allowing whatever that is to have a hold on our lives. God can deliver us from that. As He delivered the Jews from captivity, as He prophesied and He told them that greater days are coming and better days are coming, God is can do that for all of us. And we don't have to allow the past to enslave us again. Trust God. Let God help you to take care of that and put it behind you. I ask the worship team if they will come up. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. And I pray, O God, that You help us that we will see our role like Isaiah did and what You can help us to do. I pray, O God, for those who are here this morning and You know what's on their heart. You know what's taking place. And I pray that You will give liberty and freedom. You will give peace of mind. And help us, O God, that when we leave here today, we will feel and we can say, like the psalmist David, it was good to be in the house of the Lord.